There you go. Maybe
Okay.
just, yeah, please.
Buenos días a todos, siendo las 11:02 de la mañana.
Hello,
vamos
everyone.
A dar inicio a nuestra reunión
here,
informal
and so it's time to start
entre todos
our
los miembros del Comité Coordinador para América Latina y el Caribe. Quiero dar a todos un saludo, ya voy a dar unas palabras.
Welcome
pero
to
antes
everyone.
De continuar, le voy a dar la palabra a Sandra Pacheco, que va a dar algunas instrucciones domésticas para el uso de la plataforma.
Cassandra,
por favor.
Housekeeping announcements about the use of the platform. Yes, thank you, Diego. Hello, everyone. And good afternoon to Rome. Good night, Japan. This is the second informal video conference that we are organizing. I'm very happy to see you here. I'll be responsible for seeing people who want to take the floor. Should you want to speak, show the raise hand button. You'll find that under participants at the bottom of the participants list is a hand, and that's a raise hand function, because then we'll know who's asking for the floor or not. I would ask you please to mute your microphone. You can listen to either the English or the Spanish channel, or you can switch off both channels and listen to the meeting direct without interpretation. If anyone has a problem with a microphone, you can put a message in chat, do it privately, and I'll read the messages that you write. That's all I wanted to announce. We've sent out the agenda by email, and we'll work through it item by item. That's all I wanted to say, unless Sarah wants to say something. I don't know. Ah, no, sorry, I forgot something. The meeting is being recorded. So then it will help in terms of the report, an informal report. Sarah, I don't know if there's anything you want to say.
No, thank you very much, Cassandra. I think that's perfect. I think just please do let us know if there's any issues with interpretation or anything at any moment, so that we can ensure that it's corrected at the time, so that everybody gets all of the discussion. So thank you very much. And Diego, I give the floor to you to get us underway.
Muchas gracias, Sara. Bueno,
thank you, Sarah. Well, obviously, I'd like to begin by welcoming everyone who's connected in their countries. I see there's a lot of us here. I think about 70, I can see, from various countries, both Spanish and English speaking. And I'm very happy, particularly given these rather difficult circumstances we are facing when our region is being seriously affected by this pandemic. I would like to send my very best wishes to all of those people who are suffering, who have family members who've been affected in some way, or have been infected by the pandemic. We're at home. Unfortunately, I haven't had any health problems, but like so many other people, things are very different and work is a bit more complicated. So I'm very grateful to you for taking the time to join us. This meeting has been prepared so that we can continue to discuss, as we said last time round, we were discussing how important COVID is going to be in this type of context where provision of food, international food, etc., is going to be seriously affected, and so we need to be able to discuss constructively with all of us together. That's why, as a region, it's important for us to continue meeting, to be connected, and to exchange views. This is an informal meeting. It's going to last 2 hours, and I hope we can make the most of it. I'm going to share my screen with you in a few moments so that you can see this as well. So I'll be giving the floor to the Vice Chair, Stephen, who's connected. With no further ado, Steve, you have the floor.
Thank you, Chair, and hello, everyone. First of all, greetings on behalf of the Codex Alimentarius Commission Chair, Guillermo da Costa, and my fellow Vice Chairs, Mariam Aid and Puyetno Hariadi. Again, we find ourselves meeting and talking under unusual circumstances, with the COVID pandemic still affecting many regions of this world, including both the region I'm in, Europe, and the region that is meeting here, Latin America. And as Diego has already mentioned, this is changing our day-to-day lives. And we need to remember the significant public health impacts this is having across the world. But that doesn't mean we should ignore the possible opportunities that this poses for us continuing to work well and work even better together. As Diego said, there are now, I see, 75 participants on this call, and I think these calls that we have had now, I think in every region have been very well attended, and meeting virtually like this, I think, gives good opportunities for engagement, for keeping in touch, and maybe for any of us for having that element of normality in our working lives that Codex brings us. And this isn't lost on the executive committee, who had an informal meeting earlier today, and who agreed that we should continue to investigate how we can use virtual communication such as this to drive forward the Codex agenda. And we need to remember too that in this meeting of the Latin America and the Caribbean region, that your region has been at the vanguard, at the very front of using these means, and concluded its formal business of its last regional coordinating committee using precisely this means very effectively, and a combination of virtual meetings and formal discussions. So I'm sure there are things we can continue to learn from experiences across the world, and particularly experiences in this region. So I look forward very much to participating and to listening to the discussions you have. Thanks very much, Diego, for the opportunity to speak, and back to you, Mr. Chair.
Muchas gracias, Steve, por tus palabras. Thanks for those words, Steve. I'm just looking at the list, just whizzing through it. If we've got a representative of FAO or the WHO, maybe I could give the floor to one of those. I'd like to give you the floor to speak to the region, if you'd like to share some words with us. Wait a few moments. I don't know whether we have a representative from the WHO or FAO. There's someone who would like to share a few words with us. Just switch your microphone on so we can hear you. Okay, well, apparently no. In that case, welcome, Poole, as well, Vice President of the Commission. Very happy that you're with us as well. I'm going to, as I said beforehand, share my screen with you so that we can have a look at today's agenda. Roberto, if you can give me a hand with this. I'm trying to share my screen.
Diego, you should be able by clicking on the screen.
Yes, I'm doing it, but I'm not able to do it. It says host, disable attendee screen sharing.
Okay, I enabled right now.
Now I have. I have the... Great. I can share it now. Entonces, me avisan, por favor, si no lo están viendo, pero ustedes deberían estar viendo...
Tell me if you can't see it, but you should be able to see my screen right now. Can you see? Yep, we can see it in both English and in Spanish. Okay, here it is. We've already dealt with the housekeeping announcements. We've had an introduction and a welcome. So I'd like to know now whether anyone wants to add anything to the agenda. Now is a moment to mention it. Otherwise, we're going to item three, the impact of COVID, where we're going to hear from the Secretariat about the meetings and the contacts which have been ongoing, apart from what you've received in writing, and see if we have any regions, any ideas from the region, so that we can continue to think about how CODEX could adapt to the situation. And number five, we're going to have information on the proposal for a new observer in CODEX Alimentarius. And point six, follow-up to the CCLAC 21, where we're going to talk about regional implementation of the Commission's strategic plan. Then point B, other issues and questions and comments. And then finally, item seven, any other business, should you have anything else to add. I'll give you 1 minute in case anyone wants to include something else on the agenda. Apparently not. Okay, excellent. So, having said that, I'm now going to give the floor to the Codex Alimentarius Secretariat, to the Secretary Tom Hyland, who is with us, who is going to address item three for us, where we will hear from the Secretariat what's happened since the last session. So, Tom, you have the floor.
Sorry. Just before Tom speaks, Chairperson, I just wanted to note a couple of additional items under other business. And one of these we wanted to cover was World Food Safety Day and any follow-up to that. And the second item we wanted to include was webinars and training that are provided by the Codex Secretariat to Codex contact points. So we propose to cover those under other business. Thank you very much.
Gracias, Sara. He tomado nota.
Thank you, Sarah. I have taken note of that.
Tom, por favor. Muchas gracias, Diego. Saludos para todos.
Thank you, and hello to everyone. It's a pleasure for me to be here with you today. At least we can see each other virtually. I was thinking today, if my people said to me, what did you do in 2020? My answer will probably have to be, well, I cancelled meetings. It's been a lot of work, actually, to cancel meetings. Sometimes even more difficult and more work than actually organising meetings. As you have seen, until the end of this year, we're not going to have any physical Codex meetings. All of the committees which had been previously planned have been cancelled. We found slots already for these meetings in 2021. But to ensure that the E working groups can continue to work, we've planned for that. And also, it's possible for the technical committees as well to have informal meetings. So that should take us through to the end of this year, 2020. We are so hopeful that in 2021, we will more or less come back to normality. At least that's the way we're thinking right now. We have to see how the executive committee can be held in July in a virtual format, and how the commission can be organized as well. So at least we can adopt the standards that have come from the committees that met in the second part of 2019. That's something we're working on right now, so that we can see how we can go about having this virtual meeting while respecting the Codex principles of inclusivity, transparency, and consensus seeking. But it's new ground for everyone. We've already made a lot of headway, I would say, together with the protocol, with the legal services, both in WHO and in FAO, who've helped us to prepare the ground. That's all I have to say for now, but I don't know whether there are any questions about the timetable for the technical meetings, and then we can go on to talk about the commission and the executive committee. Back to you, Diego. Thank you, Tom. I'd like to know whether anyone has any questions on what's just been said by Tom. If so, please raise your hand and give you the floor. Thank you. Diego, I have a question from Colombia. Yes, go ahead, please. We've looked at the timetable, but we're a little bit doubtful about the meetings, some of the meetings which are apparently not there before 2022. At the beginning, we were planning the meeting you mentioned for the first part of 2021. We have spoken with the chair of this meeting, and they said it would be better to shift the meeting until the second part of the year. That's better for us as well, because the first half of the year is going to be very busy. So it would be easier if the meeting could be shifted back a little bit. If I correctly understood your question. Yes, thank you. That's answered my question. Thank you, Tom. I don't see anyone else asking for the floor.
Guatemala.
Guatemala. Otto, you have the floor. We can't hear you, Otto. Hello. Now we can hear you. My question was on the Committee on General Principles. I think it's working by correspondence. We know that CAC is probably, well, have we managed to overcome all of the legal aspects for this type of meeting? That's the question, and I look forward to hearing your answer. Thank you, Guatemala. Tom, you have the floor. Well, these are rather special times. What we're doing now with the Executive Committee, the Commission, these are all emergency measures. This isn't the way we wanted to work, but we've no option really, and it's important to do this. It's what we have to do so that we don't lose contact with all of you and we don't lose all of the good work which was done in the second half of 2019. So the question of the committees working by correspondence have to be separated out somewhat. It's still a bit of an experiment. Was it last year, 2 years ago, that it was decided upon in the Commission on General Principles? And I think it was a representative of the legal services said that in the United Nations, we cannot have, or it's not easy to have virtual meetings because meetings have to be physical. But COVID has changed an awful lot. That said, though, in principle, the system still hasn't been changed. So for the electronic working group, for the general principles, yes, things have changed. It's now easier to have virtual meetings. But the major question is, when will we be able to have a meeting by correspondence? I mean, this question is still arising. And that's something which has to be solved by the committee. I understand your question, though. Because we are also starting to wonder about what new normal awaits us. How many physical face-to-face meetings will we be able to have? Will we come back to what we used to have, or will we never come back to that situation? Yes, we will at some stage be able to meet again, but I think these are two rather separate issues right now. I hope that's addressed your point. Thank you. Thank you, Tom. Otto, I don't know whether you want to come back on that. I know it's difficult to answer that question, but thank you, Tom, for having given us the information that you have to date. So if there are no further questions, Tom, could you continue? I think you wanted to say more.
Thanks very much, Diego, and I will switch to because the subject of the executive committee and the commission is also a little bit complicated. So I can speak slower and so that the interpretation gets it. We are very well advanced now with the preparation of the virtual session of the executive committee. The final formula that the legal offices of FAO and WTO have found is that we need to seek the consent of the membership to host such a virtual meeting. They have also said that the majority of the members would be necessary in order to host a virtual CCXEC. For the CCXEC, this is very simple because the CCXEC only has 17 members. So we only need to find the majority of these members in order to host the meeting in virtual form. For the Commission, this will be a little bit more complicated because there we need to have over 95. And even in normal times, it is sometimes difficult to get 95 replies from members. So we need to seek that. And we are also asking our coordinators actively to participate in that seeking that consensus to host the meeting. Obviously, what we would really very much like is to get 189 replies in the positive form to host the meeting of the Commission in a virtual form. Because the goal is not to discuss any items that are difficult or that are that would lead to lengthy discussions where we might need coffee breaks and like evenings to find consensus. But the idea is to do the work that we usually do in the Commission every year, where we adopt the good work that is done by the technical committees. And there is quite a lot of that that is coming to the Commission from, as I said already, those committees that have met in the second half of 2019. So that is one part of what this Commission should do. The Commission should adopt the work that can be adopted.
and we will give members three different possibilities. Either they can adopt it or adopt with a reservation, or if members believe that this is a topic that should rather be discussed in a physical session of the commission, they may say that, in which case the topic would go back to the next physical session of the commission. And for that, one member would be enough to say so. So this we also hope that there is the most inclusivity also for people who might feel maybe not happy with the virtual meeting, or where there were problems, they might say that they don't wish to discuss it this way. The form of the meeting would be, we would be meeting 3 times 3 hours. And then about a month later, we would be adopting the report. So we also wanted to leave some time in between for all members to look at the report, which will be obviously a very outcome-oriented report, because there will not be time for any lengthy discussions on this. So members look at the outcome, see if their reservations are reflected in the right way, in case there were reservations or their opinion was correctly reflected. And then we would do a report adoption, well, similar as to you have done successfully in this committee earlier for the adoption of the second part of the CCLAC report. I should say that in addition, we would like the commission to confirm the nomination of the new coordinators, because at each session of the coordinating committees, either a new coordinator is nominated or the present one is reconfirmed. In our case, this time we have the coordinator for Europe, who was reconfirmed and has another term, but all the other coordinators had their 2 terms already, and the new coordinators need to be confirmed by the commission. The nomination has happened for all except for the region of Africa, where we're still waiting for a nomination, but all others have been nominated and have also confirmed their availability to serve as coordinator from after the commission session. For us, this is important so that we can start working with these new coordinators in order to prepare the next sessions of the coordinating committees. A final issue, what would be on our agenda as well, is the election of the chair and the vice chairs of the commission. This we have discussed it also with our protocol and legal officers. It's not possible in a virtual setting, so we would thus prolong basically the term of the present chair and vice chair until the next session, where we could hold, if necessary, secret ballot for election. Because also the, for example, the World Health Assembly, if had in its new rules for the virtual session that everything could happen except secret ballot was not possible to do virtually. So that would also not be possible for us. So in this case, we would kindly ask Guillaume, Steve, Mariam and Poor to stay in their offices for another year until we could come to elections. And I will stop here, Diego, for further questions. Thank you.
Muchas gracias, Tom. Todo muy claro. De todas maneras...
Very much, Tom. Very clear. I'd now like to open the floor for any countries who may have some questions or comments. Hola. To make.
Buenos días.
Yes. Hello.
Sí. Sí.
Carmen. We have Carmen from Peru.
Buenos días, de Peru.
Oh, sorry.
Peru.
Carmen from Peru.
Sí. Buenos días.
Yes.
Queríamos que...
Hello.
Buenos días. Queríamos ver si en este, en los puntos de agenda, en otros.
So, on the agenda.
Pudieran incluir de un tema que se viene trabajando en el
business,
país sobre aceite vegetal.
Perhaps we could add something that is being worked on in our country. Perhaps we could add that issue. Carmen, I'm going to include it if we have time. We only have 2 hours to meet. after 2 hours, we won't have interpretation anymore. This is a general meeting for coordination. We are not looking at specific issues. So perhaps you could make a general intervention in relation to this issue, because we don't have people here on the call who are specialized in certain issues. So perhaps we could have a general comment on this, and then look into it in more detail at a later stage during a later meeting. And perhaps in the chat, you could put the exact wording of the item you'd like to discuss. I have Costa Rica asking for the floor. Tatiana, you have the floor. Hello, everyone. It's very nice to see you all here. And I'd like to say that it's very good that we're able to continue our work despite the pandemic. I would like to add this issue as well to the end. It's important. I would like to suggest that the Secretariat should also look at other innovative methods that other Codex observers have put in place in order to continue on with their work. I think it's very important to perhaps make some adjustments to the procedural manual, but it's also very important to have lots of information and input from others to see that if technologically speaking, we can continue our work in certain ways, when we can see the experience that we had with the approval of the second part of the report of CC-LAC. For me, this was a huge sign of success. And we were able to discuss many issues. And using this type of technology, we were able to adopt the report. And this could be used in the future as well. We know that one concern in the past was something which came up when we discussed the fact that we need to find mechanisms that we can use to move work forward. We don't want to be limited in our ability to participate in meetings and work because of COVID-19. Things need to change. So I would like to see a discussion on how we can make sure that when we have very different time zones, how we can make sure that these meetings can continue to take place. We've seen that this has been done with the executive committee, but we have very disparate time zones. And we have seen this as an issue, but it is doable. It is feasible. And if we want Codex to continue its work, we are prepared to make certain sacrifices when it comes to time zone differences, for example. And I think perhaps we could look at what other organizations are doing and learn from them as well to make sure that Codex standard setting work moves forward. So I'd like to say that perhaps we need to review. Other experiences in other international organizations so that we can see whether Codex could perhaps take a decision to modify the procedural manual to take into consideration these other experiences. I thank you very much. Thank you, Costa Rica. I'm sorry, Diego. Just to clarify, we have Brazil asking for the floor. Perhaps we could give the floor to Brazil. Thank you. Yes, I'm going to give the floor to Brazil, but perhaps Tom would like to answer Costa Rica's concern first.
The comment from Costa Rica is very interesting, and I think I had the same thought when this all started happening.
estamos teniendo traducción al español.
¿No hay traducción? Bueno.
No.
Bueno, puedo hablar en español también.
Entonces, well, I can also speak in Spanish. I had the same thoughts when thinking about how to deal with this situation. We looked at the OECD, for example. They have been doing virtual meetings, and we've been looking at what we could do virtually. And I have lots of ideas, and I'm sure other people have lots of ideas as well. And that's why I think this could really be something the Commission could work on. We could look at how we can renew and rejuvenate Codex, how we can make the most out of this situation. Today, we had an informal session of CC Exec, and we looked at this issue. We're going to create a group of friends of the chair to look at some ideas on this subject. Of course, there's the option of hybrid meetings as well, in addition to just virtual meetings. So it's not just talking about having virtual meetings with screens, we can also have hybrid meetings. Of course, taking into account that people who are just staring at a screen perhaps are not as included in a meeting or don't feel as included in a meeting as those who are physically present. That's an issue as well. But I think we can look at this, how we can perhaps change some of our procedures. Do we always need physical meetings, or can we make some changes, having virtual meetings to save time for physical meetings, for example, or to save time in physical meetings? Perhaps we could look at lots of different ideas which could be explored, and I think we do need to explore them. And I hope that the members are going to look into this and make proposals, because that's how we can get things moving with this suggestion. Thank you. I'd just like to say that the next item on the agenda is actually where we're going to look at some ideas for the new modalities for us to continue Codex's work. So I would like to say we have Brazil asking for the floor, just Brazil at the moment. And if you have perhaps any questions in relation to what Tom said, and comments on how Codex can move forward with its modalities for work, perhaps we can come to that under the next item, proposals for Codex's work in the future. And without any further ado, I'd like to give the floor to Brazil.
I have a question for the Secretariat. Actually, I had an issue with my connection and I needed something. Excuse me. And I just want to be clear what you said on it. It is in regards, it was not clear for me. If I understood correctly, if a member says that an issue shouldn't be discussed by virtual means, so then we wouldn't discuss that point. Is that correct? I missed connection exactly when you were saying something in regards to this, and it was not clear to me.
Okay, thanks very much, Andre, for the question. Well, we are still developing this, right? We're still together with the legal office developing the options, but this seems to be the likelihood at the moment that because of this special virtual session, there may be countries thinking, well, this requires a larger discussion before we are able to adopt it. So we want to give those countries the right to say, well, let's move this to the next physical session of the commission without entering into, because we won't have the time to enter into discussions, into much discussion. We will definitely open the subject and there will be enough time for clarifications. Let's say if, for example, we have very often the situation that the chairperson of the technical meeting is also at the commission and gives certain clarifications, which in many cases already resolve the problems that a member may have with the adoption. But after exhausting this kind of, we have to manage our time very, very carefully in this virtual meeting. After exhausting our time discussion for one item, we would have to say, well, would you agree? Would you agree with the reservation, or would you really insist that this we continue discussing this at the next physical session of the commission, which would be, as we hope, very much in 2021. I hope that was more or less clear. I mean, I cannot promise you that this is the final. This is the final design of the meeting, because also for the seeking the content for the virtual meeting, we first got a different advice, and then in discussions it developed that we are now seeking for the majority consent. So again, we are learning as we move along here, and Codex is maybe a little bit different than other meetings, and we're trying to find the best way of proceeding in this virtual meeting while keeping to our values. Thanks. Over.
Muchas gracias, Tom.
Thank you, Tom. Brazil, are you asking for the floor again? Yes. Thank you, Diego.
No, I'm thankful for this clarification. And as I had the opportunity to serve the member for the region in CCZAC meeting formal this morning, I would like to comment something, and it's still related to the question I made. The way we'll be conducting these meetings and the time that we'll have available for the discussions will be a challenge for us, for all of us. But I cannot forget to mention that, one of the questions raised this morning from the, if I'm correct, from the Asia member, it was related to technical discussion, something like that. And it's important to raise right now that the whole board, I mean, the chair and the vice chairs, and also the secretariat will be an important role. Of course, you already have, but especially in this virtual meetings, because at least last CAC, I would say we failed while allowing technical discussions took place at the commission. So I would just like to raise this, and if I could provide you an advice, I believe that the planning thing before we proceed with the meetings will be the most challenging thing, and that we should be really clear on which items of the agenda will be discussed, and maybe leave those that wouldn't be, properly to be discussed in a virtual means for a physical. But then I think I will be entering in the item 4 of the agenda. Thank you.
If I just may. Thanks very much. Just in reply to that, obviously there were certain discussions at the last session of the CSC which were quite frustrating, I think, to many people who were there because of the length of certain technical discussions which normally should not take place at the commission. I totally agree with you that this needs to be carefully planned. And we should also not forget that we will have the critical review of the executive committee beforehand, which this time should also in particular look at trying to discover those items that might risk leading to technical discussions, and maybe even propose that these go to the next physical meeting already. So they would still be appearing in the report, and they still appear in the relevant document. So the membership might still decide differently, but at least that the executive committee has kind of sorted through the proposals, of which I don't hope that we have too many this time. Over to you, Diego.
Gracias, Tom. I have Susan from Jamaica asking for the floor. Please, Susan, if you have any questions regarding what Tom has been informing, please go ahead. The floor is yours.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. And pleasant, safe, keeping safe during COVID-19 during this time. I just want to quickly just ask if the recordings that we may be conducted in terms of meetings and perhaps have response in terms of comments, will the codex contact points for each country have access to some of these recordings? Why I'm saying that is because sometimes our internet drops and we may not be able to participate in Zoom meetings. And so if we have an opportunity to hear the recordings after and then make comments, I think it's another avenue for countries to participate in. Thank you.
Thank you for that question. Hand over the floor to Tom.
As a matter of fact, these kind of questions of the, let's say, a little bit insecurity, whether a virtual meeting is stable over 3 hours or certain countries lose connection. Even we this morning, Sarah, at some point, she lost her connection. She was freezing and couldn't finish her sentence. So that can happen. This is also the reason why we wanted to have a longer interval between the virtual session and the report adoption, so that countries who maybe lost part of the meeting and got cut off, they could make the relevant comments in writing to the meeting. But there again, we're still working on the exact modalities and how that should work. But I would assume that the recording of the meeting would be available quite soon after. I'm looking at Sarah to say how soon after the meeting these recordings are usually available. And I would assume that would be available to the contact points. Over to you, Sarah, maybe.
Yeah, thank you, Tom, and Roberto online can probably give a quicker time frame. But I think in this case, our intent would be to try and make them available as soon as possible. And if technically possible, maybe within that day, so that if people did lose the internet connection, they would be able to catch up before the next day's discussion. So that would be our aim. We have to check if that's technically feasible, but we would try to aim at that to facilitate the smooth proceedings and of the discussions.
Muchas gracias, Sara. Muchas gracias, Tom.
Thank you very much, Sarah and Tom. I would now like to give the floor to Rommel. And let's make sure that we can get through as much of the agenda as possible today. Ecuador has the floor. Rommel. Rommel, we can't hear you. Thank you. Thank you, Chair. I'm sorry. I lost the audio for a second. A very good day to all of you. It's very nice to see you all here on the screen. I hope you and your families are all well. I would just like to add my voice to what Brazil said. We need to make sure that our values continue to be respected, and we need to make sure that we have a will to look at issues in meetings. We see that what we know is that there are some restrictions with travel, for example, that are going to make physical meetings difficult. And so this could exclude some countries from being involved in discussions on some issues if those issues are only allowed to be discussed in physical meetings. Thank you. Thank you very much, Rommel. I don't have any other requests for the floor. Unless Tom would like to make any more comments, we could conclude this item of the agenda. Tom, do you have any other comments?
Thank you. I think it also goes into the how can Codex continue working and how can we innovate? And it also goes to this what I sometimes say, that when we come to 2021 and if suddenly we find out that we still cannot hold physical meetings while keeping to our principles of inclusiveness, of people being able to travel and people maybe not being able to travel, then if we come again to the question, are we going to cancel this meeting or are we going to have a different way of doing this meeting? Eventually we will have no choice, right? Eventually we'll have no choice or we can stop Codex. If we have to continue moving meetings, forever we come to a big crunch and we cannot keep up anymore. So from 2021, we would really also have to be prepared from our experience that we have gathered with the Virtual Commission and with the EXEC, where I accept we are trying to be careful there, right, for the time being with these meetings, but we might have to become a little bit bolder and see, well, if we cannot meet physically, we just have to do it in a different way. So, which is also why I'm very much in favor of this small group that was created today under the executive committee. And these questions should certainly also come to the commission, to the wider membership. Over. Thanks.
Muchas gracias, Tom. Y yo creo que de a poco
Thanks, Tom. I think this is going to roll into the next item on the agenda. So I'd like to thank Tom for the information he has provided us with. And before concluding, I'd like to give the floor to Sarah.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Diego. Just a couple of other points on this issue, more reminders for everybody as we move forward. Firstly, you will have seen in the letter that was sent out on the 12th of June from Tom, that we will have a meeting of Codex contact points on the 28th of July. So we will be sending more details on that, but this will be an opportunity in particular to discuss more the modalities of the commission, because by then we should have a lot more information. So for now, it's just to save the date, mark your calendars for the 28th of July for a meeting with all of the membership on how the commission will move forward this year. The second point I just wanted to make before we finish up relates to work continuity and particularly of all those committees where the sessions have been postponed. You will, for those of you who are Codex contact points, you will see that you're receiving a number of circular letters about new dates for submitting comments, about expanding terms of references for electronic working groups and similar issues. So I would just urge you to please keep note or keep track and review of those circular letters, because they're really the guidance in terms of what's going to happen to facilitate work moving forward between now and the next physical sessions of the various committees. Some of the EWGs, you will have seen that there's also messages coming out from the chairpersons indicating that new members can also join these electronic working groups now. So if you have an interest in a particular topic, now is a good time to engage in a particular EWG that you may not have been involved in the past. On the Codex webpage, under the committee webpage, we try to keep that updated with new information about what's happening within each of the committees and how they're progressing their work until they meet again. So this is just a reminder to keep checking the webpage, particularly in relation to the meetings, and keep an eye out on the circular letters where you also have information on extension of dates for comments, terms of references of EWGs or submission of priority substances, for example, in the case of CCFA for JECFA or the GSFA. So thank you very much.
Muchas gracias, Sara. Mucha información para...
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Diego. In my list, I have someone asking for the floor. Well, perhaps we'll close this item and then go to Marguerite de Calais, who is going to say some few words. Yes, thank you. Just like to say hello to everyone. I would just like to see how the Codex projects in the region are going to move forward. I think it's very important for the group. And yes, COVID has of course affected the projects, and a lot of activities have been postponed or turned into virtual projects. Margarita, are you talking about the trust fund project? Yes, that's right, I am. And in the case of Bolivia and Honduras, we had to postpone some activities, and perhaps we have to have a contingency plan to see if some things can be turned into virtual activities. This has happened with some things already with Bolivia and Guyana, El Salvador and Guatemala. There are projects as well, because they are beneficiaries of projects. And I hope that I haven't left anyone behind. The interpreter apologizes. There's a lot of extraneous background noise.
Ahora, sí, perdona, que mi audio a veces fluctúa.
I'm sorry, my audio seems to fluctuate sometimes. Yes. We are continuing on with the work to make sure that countries are able to continue work with their national codex committees, and we will continue to update everyone on how things are going. And we're very much looking forward to listening to the discussions in this meeting. And I hand over back to you. Thank you.
Thank you, Margarita, for that information. I've got a bad connection. I don't know whether you can hear me correctly. Okay. I think that completes that agenda item. Thank you for that very useful information, Margarita. We're very happy to hear that we've got an additional three beneficiaries for the trust fund. And we now move to the next item on the agenda. This is where we want to bring some thought to how Codex can work into the future. Now, we are going to continue discussing this as well by email and sharing that with the rest of the countries. So we don't need to repeat things said there, but we should use this item on the agenda to discuss it further. And I see that Chile is asking for the floor. Nuri? Thank you, Diego. Well, some items have already mentioned under point three of the agenda, but we would like to start putting forward some proposals to think about international meetings of Codex. We've been affected by the COVID-19 pandemic. It's affected the work of Codex. The question is, what's going to happen in the future as well? Various proposals have been put forward as to how we can continue and push ahead with Codex work. Drawing on the experience of other international meetings, there was one held last week, a very successful one. The WHO has had one. I took part in one as well. It was quite positive. But we see that it is possible to use different forms of work for meetings. We don't have to be present, but these can be tapped into to ensure that we can continue the work even when meetings have been suspended. And we have to increase the use of electronic platforms. Chile, under the National Codex Committee, put its head together and drew up a proposal, or some proposals, which I'd like to put to you now. We have to identify a suitable platform for virtual meetings where we would have inclusivity and transparency, which are reflected as being principles respected by Codex. We also have to urge countries to send in comments to the guidance document on procedures for working committee on general principles. I think this proposal will be crucial for a more dynamic future. Thirdly, we have to encourage participation in electronic working groups, the ones that are up and running now, given their importance in moving Codex's work forward. It will be up to the national and regional secretariats, amongst others, to work on this to ensure participation. A short-term proposal will be to implement the system using the CCLAC2 meeting, where we had the possibility of having comments from countries immediately translated and shown. Fourthly, we could have the possibility of using hybrid meetings, if it's possible to have a part of it as a physical meeting, so physical and virtual together. After the pandemic, of course, it's possible that there will continue to be financial problems in many countries, which would undermine the possibility of having physical meetings, particularly for less developed countries which have more limited capacities. That is something which has to be taken into account, because certainly we're not going to be able to plan an awful lot of trips. We also have to call on the Codex Secretariat along the lines of other multilateral organizations to draw on their experience if they've had virtual meetings already, including the WHO. We have to work efficiently, effectively, see what's worked best so that we can draw best experiences from that. And we have to make the most of every possible meeting, taking account of the time zones in the various countries and regions. We've been discussing this in Chile amongst the various different participants in the National Codex Committee, and we wanted to provide this as input to today's meeting for our debate. Thank you. Thank you, Chile. I was wondering, Chile, if we could actually circulate this proposal between all the members by email. Yes, certainly. Obviously, it will depend on the proposals made here. I'm sure it can be improved upon. But we felt that the situation, the financial situation, is going to be very complicated. And so we have to show some foresight in this. Yes, certainly. I've seen Costa Rica now asking for the floor. Costa Rica? Yes, thank you. I'd like to continue what I was saying beforehand. I'm sorry I didn't wait till we got to item four. Costa Rica considers that the current circumstances force us to reinvent and to find other ways of moving forward Codex issues. There are health restrictions, and restrictions of many different types as well that are affecting all of us. and our possibilities to continue to have physical meetings. If we want to respect the principle of inclusivity, which has always been promoted, clearly we would have to fall back on these mechanisms. There is broad experience. We've seen the progress which has been made through the working groups. The EWGs have been working very well. And there's been communication between the chairs and co-chairs of this group in different regions in the course of this crisis as well. It's even improved. And so I think we can continue to build on this experience. And Costa Rica will continue to be involved because we are very much involved with the WHO and the Secretariat. And we think that there is some really good experiences out there on this front. We think we have to take the positive out of this whole tragedy of the pandemic. There are certain things which can be put to the benefit of Codex. For example, we think it's really important to increase and strengthen the use of the platform available to Codex right now. Costa Rica thinks it's very usable. The Secretariat has also put in a lot of effort in the past to ensure that people were physically present, and we have manuals now that can help us learn how to use these new platforms. But now that we're working with them almost on a daily basis, we can see that they do work. But to establish a position on a specific item from different countries, we don't think it's necessary to have a physical meeting if we're going to discuss technical issues. The platform, I think, is perfectly adequate to establish the position of countries and also establish the scientific foundations of any decision. So I think we have to bring together all of the different views to see whether we have a consensus and whether we can make headway in one direction or another. And then in a virtual meeting, we can address it on this basis. Of course, it would be wonderful if we could meet, but as we've said on various occasions, this is increasingly less feasible. There are discussions, there are aspects, how to achieve consensus, for example, which are of crucial importance. How we can retain transparency. I've mentioned already an example on that front. And as I said beforehand too, when I raise this under item three, we need manuals and rules and we also have to see how these multilateral organizations work, as Chile was saying, whether they have a simultaneous interpretation and translation mechanisms, as we already have in Codex, which can help those people who are whose English is maybe limited. So it's perfectly feasible for us to make our comments in our own mother tongue, which wouldn't prevent us from participating. We also think we have to continue to participate in the groups working through correspondence as well, because they're really helping us continue the work. And that could be, I think, very useful in terms of establishing what we can do in the future. We've seen that in the e-working groups, it is perfectly possible to collect the views of the other members. Unfortunately, we've lost the sound. The interpreters can't follow the speaker. We've lost you, unfortunately.
¿Están de acuerdo
your microphone's
en
on.
Sí, perdón, gracias.
Ahí ya te escuchamos nuevamente. Te invitaría si puedes ir como englobando las ideas para darle la palabra a más personas.
So, if you could conclude so we can give the floor to other people. I'd actually concluded, but we couldn't hear you.
Bueno, en resumen, perdón, sí, no me di cuenta, sí.
Sorry, I didn't realize. Yes, to sum up then, we would agree with Chile that we have to look at multilateral organizations for the procedures, the platforms, the translation mechanisms, and the procedures as well. We know that FAO has rules for this. The legal counsel from FAO should also help us to determine what needs to be added to in order to facilitate the whole process and strengthen the use of the Codex platform, which has its possibilities for translation. We have to use circulars and other mechanisms as well in order to be able to continue working on those matters where member countries want or have their points to make as well. Costa Rica would extend all necessary support to find ways to continue making headway within Codex. Thank you. Thank you, Tatiana. Thank you for those comments. Maybe you could send this in writing as well so we can circulate it to the other regions. I now have Guatemala asking for the floor. Otto. Yes, thank you, Diego. I fully agree with what's been said by Chile and Costa Rica. But I'm a bit concerned about the legal aspects. There's no legal basis for these virtual meetings, but this is something we've been discussing in Guatemala. And if we have any lawyers present, it would be interesting to hear their views, because WHO right now has an international declaration about the pandemic that's been taken up by the individual countries, and national emergencies have been declared as well. And we've seen a huge change in circumstances for everyone. So maybe the WHO declaration about the international pandemic could be taken as a basis. Each country then, with its own national declaration, could come forward, and we could see what we can discuss as a Codex then. Because according to the rules, we should be having physical meetings. But let me stress once again, if there is a lawyer present, it will be interesting to hear their view and whether or not we could use that declaration that I just mentioned from the WHO. Thank you. Thank you, Otto. Well, I'm sure that the FAO legal office is working out all of the legal aspects of decisions taken. So thank you for that input. Tatiana Cruz from Costa Rica is actually a lawyer. But anyway, we've taken note of your comments. Ecuador now has the floor. Roman? Thank you. Ecuador welcomes the efforts being made by the chair and his team, and the secretariat, the membership. And this meeting is an example of this. They're making huge efforts to address and move matters forward in a different way. We would like to echo what's already been said about working in an urgent way on the procedures so that we can come up with the mechanisms which will allow us to find new ways of working, this virtual meeting, for example. These are challenges because we have to ensure that none of our members are excluded for technological reasons. Well, the challenges are always been financial to ensure a physical participation by members, but now the challenge is going to be to establish and strengthen technological possibilities. So this is something we'd like to look into further, including with the Trust Fund, which I'm sure will be facing a major challenge on this front as well. The voices are calling ever louder to find new ways, not only informal ones, but formal ones as well. We'd like to stress that the active participation of each and every one of the members will ensure that our position, our voice, is heard everywhere. And I think it's very important that we have the presence of a significant number of countries and delegates so that we can continue to progress. And we would like to call on everyone to continue with the proposals. We've been informally involved with the presence in the informal meetings of the executive committee. That's ongoing as well. And I think that it's important to share all of the proposals which are being made with all members. Maybe we can come up with another document then, which could be put forward to the various different regions as well in order to be discussed. Thank you. Thank you. Brazil is now asking for the floor. Thank you. I'd like to support what's been said by previous speakers. I don't actually have an awful lot to add. It was said beforehand that it's very important to establish priorities, and that would be the most important job that lies ahead, to define the agenda, in other words, for a meeting. I'm talking in particular about the Commission here. Brazil sent an email yesterday, or maybe the day before, I can't remember, that could maybe be shared with my colleagues from the region. But a lot of it has already been said by other countries. Brazil would like to stress the importance to take account of limitations that countries face, same as with the physical meeting. We'd also like to stress the importance of a regional coordinator. I think a document has already been drawn up from the countries in the Pacific. I think it's an interesting document, and I was wondering if maybe that could be shared with the region too. I took note because we were present in the informal executive committee meeting, and I've also noted the importance of the friends of the chair group. I would call on the secretariats or anyone else who could, the chair or the vice chair, if they could explain something. And I'm going to switch into English now.
So I heard that there will be established this Friends of the Chair meeting. Facilitation to move forward on this issue we are facing now. And then it was not clear for me who will be eligible and selected to become part of this Friends of the Chair meeting. I heard that the other advisor for Uruguay showed their interest to participate on that discussion, and I had the opportunity to participate at the CAC in 2010 when we had this opportunity to establish a Friends of the Chair meeting also to discuss ractopamine, and we had 11 countries participating on that discussion. And so my question is, who will be eligible when selected for participating in this Friends of the Chair approach?
Muchas gracias, Brasil. Me gustaría pasarle la palabra a la secretaría, Tom.
Thank you, Brazil. I'd like to give the floor to the secretariat, Tom.
And thanks very much for the question. It's obviously this morning, as you rightly said, Andre, it was an informal session of the executive committee. So there was not really any formal way to establish anything. We were discussing a document that had been prepared also by an advisor, by the advisor to the Southwest Pacific, just on topics as we are discussing now under this agenda item. And there was the wish to bring something of that to the formal session of the executive committee, but there was also the thought, oh, maybe we should get some people together to pre-digest the document and make some proposals to the executive committee. So let's say, in this executive committee, there is a group of interested parties that is put together that will be working on this document a little bit, and then it will come into the formal session of the document. The situation in, when was it, 2012 or around that time, was a little bit different because it was a group of the Friends of the Chair established in the Commission. And I think at that time, it was Karen Hullebach as the chairperson who was determining who she invited to that group, Friends of the Chair. It was like a very, it was like a more directive invitation of Friends of the Chair. And this morning when somebody asked me what are the rules for Friends of the Chair, I had to say, I don't know. We do not have it in our procedure. And this morning I took it only as well. Let's get some people together who work on this document, then we bring it into a more formal process in the executive committee, and not really, I didn't see it as something that would be a lengthy group that would be working on there. And again, I hear a lot of interest here in this meeting, and I'm very interested in hearing this and in the members also making this with force in the commission. Not everybody thinks like that. There are some people who are more conservative who think, oh, we should be sticking to physical meetings. There are some people who think, well, the situation has changed. And if we want to remain inclusive and transparent, we have to change. So I think this wave of change needs to come from the members. So I will be very happy to see documents coming up on that, coming from the region, making proposals that then will be discussed in the wider membership in order to bring a change to Codex while sticking to our values. I don't know if the vice chairs maybe want to say something like that. I saw Steve nodding. I'm speaking German. I'm speaking a little bit German these days because I'm in Germany still. So this is the longest time ever in 20 years that I've been speaking German. Sorry about that. I stop here.
Muchas gracias, Tom. Me gustaría darle la palabra a Steve, que está levantando.
Thank you, Tom. I'm going to give Steve the floor now. Steve, go ahead.
Thank you. As Tom said, this concept and applying it to this issue is only a few hours old. So we are still thinking about how to develop it. I suppose the key part of the concept for me is that having a group of people from CCExec, which is a geographically representative body of Codex, to work in literally just the next couple of weeks to try to expand the range of issues and possible ways of working included in that original paper from New Zealand must be an appropriate way forward to make sure that when this does enter more formal discussion in just 4.5 weeks' time, we're able, to the extent that we can, to harness thinking that has gone on in countries and regions so far, such as the work that Nori indicated that Chile had undertaken, the work that thinking that others have said is very much alive in this region, as it is in the Southwest Pacific, so that when we do start our formal consideration, we can be best informed by all of the thinking that we've done individually and collectively on the topic. And Friends of the Chair is just an informal construct that allows that to happen. And as I said to CCExec, my view is that how we construct the group should be pretty much informed by its purpose, which is to act as a forum for discussion, to surface ideas and approaches that have been discussed elsewhere, that the group should be very short-lived, the next 2 or 3 weeks, just to ensure that the CCExec formal discussion in July is well informed, and that we take the best advantage we can of the work that's been done and our shared sense of urgency and the need for progress, and harness that in a constructive way. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Steve. And I just want to add something that I think we're all friends of the Chair, because he's such a nice person. We all want to be his friends, right? But in Espanol, perdón. La reflexión que
switch back to Spanish, sorry. Yes, what I wanted to say was that we're talking more on an informal basis, and it's a bit difficult for us to establish where informality ends and formality begins, because usually, very often, we start informally producing a report, which then we have to switch and make formal at one stage. But in informality, we don't know how many people to include, do we extend it, do we not extend it. And I think we have to continue giving thought to how we go about these informal meetings. This one, again, is an informal meeting. It allows us to exchange views. And the idea of the Friends of the Chair, it's not in the rules. It was taken as a decision in an informal meeting. And so it's an interesting conversation. We're going to have to continue to discuss this, but it's something that will develop as we continue talking about this.
Seems like you are having issues with the microphone. No te podemos escuchar. Hear you, Fars? Can you hear me? Let's. Bueno, mientras Trinidad y Tobago, si nos puede escribir por el WhatsApp, me gustaría entonces.
Trinidad and Tobago could write to us by WhatsApp. We can't seem to hear them. We could give the floor in the meantime to Chile. The delegate has a lot of experience as a former vice chair of the commission. So I'd like to give the floor to Chile. Thank you, Diego. I'd like to refer to the Friends of the Chair group. This is something which has been used in the past when it comes to the IPPC, when we were dealing with the issues. This was a very good way to bring people together with the chair to reach agreement on certain issues. This could be used for a standard, for example. That's one thing. And the other thing I wanted to say is that we haven't had a pandemic like this in the past. And so we don't know what's going to happen in the future, and we don't have mechanisms in place. We don't have an annex, for example, in the manual that deals with emergencies. We could have other emergencies that happen in the future, and so we don't know how we're going to deal with them. So perhaps that will be done by going through things in this pandemic. Thank you very much for that comment and sharing your views based on your experience. I'm going to give the floor to Brazil, and then we're going to try to reconnect with Trinidad and Tobago. Brazil, you have the floor.
I just want to clarify that I'm not conservative, and I do acknowledge the importance of this kind of approach of the Friends of the Chair to be a way to move forward. Thank you.
Muchas gracias. Trinidad y Tobago, vamos a intentar nuevamente, a ver si puede...
We're going to try again with Trinidad and Tobago. Can we try to reconnect with Trinidad and Tobago?
Trinidad y Tobago, vi que desactivó el micrófono, pero no lo podemos escuchar.
You seem to have activated your microphone, but we can't hear you, Trinidad and Tobago.
No escuchamos a Trinidad y Tobago.
We cannot hear Trinidad and Tobago.
Roberto, are you listening? Do we have any issues?
Listening, I also wrote them in chat, but no replies.
Okay, so we'll just...
They are unmuted now.
Yeah, I see. Okay, vamos a continuar entonces, y le doy la palabra...
We're going to continue then, and I'm going to give the floor to José Luis from Uruguay. José Luis, you have the floor.
Gracias. Gracias, Diego. ¿Me escuchan bien?
Thank you, Diego. Can you hear me?
Yo solo quería traer para la congregación de todos los que se han sumado a esta reunión.
I'd just like to raise an issue that was also raised this morning in CC Exec, in the informal meeting there.
Propuestas que hizo Nueva Zelanda.
There was a proposal from New Zealand. In relation to the fact that CC Exec meetings, especially in this situation where we don't have physical meetings, the proposal was that there be a webcasting or broadcasting so that members could follow the proceedings of CC Exec, even though they don't participate in the discussions. The interpreter apologizes, the audio connection has deteriorated. I'm sorry, Luis, the screen froze and we couldn't hear you anymore. Yes. No, you're cutting out, Luis, says the chair. We're hearing noise from your end, Luis, but then the audio cuts out. There seems to be a problem with the connection with Uruguay. I still have Trinidad and Tobago. Perhaps we can get Trinidad and Tobago. Trinidad and Tobago. In the meantime, we'll go to Ecuador. Yes, I'd like to support what Uruguay said, as I was also attending the meeting this morning. It's true that there was a proposal that there be some sort of streaming for these informal meetings so that they can be shared with others. This was a proposal. And I would like for this to be considered as an item for reflection, this possibility to share these meetings through webcasting or broadcasting. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you, Rommel. I understand this is more an issue. Rommel took the floor. The interpreter apologizes. There's a lot of extraneous noise. I'd just like to say that the thing is that the fact that the meeting is closed, it does facilitate certain things. Because the members of the committee feel more free to express their views when the meeting is closed. But also there's the issue of increasing the knowledge amongst the members of what's happening within CCXEC. And of course, thanks to physical meetings, we also have lots of benefits thanks to physical meetings. The interpreter apologizes, the audio has deteriorated. I think we do need to reconsider this question of webcasting or broadcasting of meetings. Thank you, José Luis. This seems to a subject which is very much connected to the issues for Codex's work in the future. In any case, I'm going to give the floor to Tom in case he'd like to add anything in this respect.
But I just want to say some people are conservative, and sometimes the people who are conservative is the lawyers who are conservative, and it's the our own administration. And as we have seen in the CCGP, when we started the topic of working by correspondence, we got told off by saying, well, UN meetings should be physical, that's it. And that was a little bit surprising to us as well. And a similar reply was given to us when we asked about the webcasting of the CCXEC. The CCXEC is a private group, it should not be webcast, and so on. Whereas I also privately, I said to people, well, who do I know who's sitting in the room next to all of you now, right? I don't know that, right? I have no idea. Wouldn't it be better if we were transparent from the start, right? And if we say, okay, this is webcast, we have nothing to hide in any case. Why not, right? But there are certain things in Codex, sometimes you come across a procedural obstacle. Like this morning in the meeting, we had a procedural obstacle which was raised and which cost us half an hour. And it's, even though it was an informal meeting, I might say. But so sometimes in Codex, I think procedure is overly stressed at some point, and other points, and not always helpful for the work. But here again, it will help if as many members as possible, let's say, we would like to have at least, it doesn't have to be public, let's say, right? It doesn't have to be for the general public, but at least for the membership. It doesn't even have to include the observers. But at least for the membership, the 189 members of Codex, we would like to have a streaming of the executive committee. And there, if the wish of the membership is that, I don't think that anybody would be objecting in the end. But at this moment, there seems to be a certain reluctance as to that. We have, in the past, we had long discussions on that, and we resolved the issue by at least recording the sessions and putting them on the web after the event, which is obviously not the same, but let's say it does create a bit more transparency as we had before when we didn't have anything of that. But again, you're the members, right? And if you express yourself strongly, then many things can also change. Also, if you express yourself as a region, I think that will also be very useful. Over.
Muchas gracias, Tom. Este es un tema, yo creo.
Thank you, Tom. I think that the pandemic and the changes we're seeing is putting us in situations in which we are reflecting on ways to move forward. I think it's a very important subject, and we are going to continue to discuss it. We're going to continue to see what future opportunities lie ahead. I don't have any further requests for the floor. I'd like to thank the delegates for the questions. It's very interesting, and we're going to discuss this in depth and in more detail in future. If there are no further comments, I think we can close and conclude with this item. And if any countries have any more comments on this issue, for example, please send them in writing. I'm not sure if someone's asking for the floor in the chat. Yes, thank you, Chair. Peru, you have the floor. I'd just like to say that we support proposals which have just been made to support the ways to look at how we can continue to meet in the future. For us, the use of information technology to continue work in a virtual manner is a good way to move forward, to make sure that we continue to work. But we think that it is important to make sure that proposals continue to support countries during this difficult period. We also agree that we need to be very careful. These meetings need to be restricted with their membership to a certain extent. And the legal aspect is also very important here as well. We also think that meetings need to continue to follow a certain procedure, and this needs to be secure and safe to make sure that we can continue on with our work in our meetings. We are completely in agreement with this proposal. Thank you, Peru. Well, this is an informal meeting, so it's not a formal conclusion. I'd just like to thank you for your contributions. I think everything we've discussed has been very interesting for Codex's work in future. So now we'll move to the next item on the agenda. I don't have any further requests for the floor. So the next item is an informative item for the agenda. If you just give me a moment. I apologize. It's an information item, and I'd like to share with you an item on the Good Food Institute. And I think it's very important here. There's a proposal for a new observer in Codex. This is an NGO in many countries. It's present in Europe, Brazil, India, Israel, and Asia and the Pacific. It's a very good group because it represents an industry in growth. It looks at technology for the growth of plant-based meats. And I think this is quite innovative, and I think that it's actually a good idea that they are interested in Codex's work. And so I think it would be very important for the Secretariat to continue on with this work to see if the Good Food Institute can be included as a new observer. I think it's a very interesting proposal. I'm not sure whether the Secretariat would like to add anything to this. Perhaps I've made some procedural errors just wondering if the secretary would like to say something. Sarah, you have the floor. I think you're asking for the floor, Sarah.
Yes, I think, thank you very much. I think we can just add a few things to that. And it's basically for information again. We have formally received the application from the Good Food Institute to become an observer in Codex. We have procedures as outlined in the procedural manual, so it needs to be reviewed by the Codex Secretariat and then the legal offices of FAO and WHO. So this is currently ongoing. If all the criteria are met according to those reviews, then they will be included in the document that will be prepared for the CC exec on potential new observers to Codex. So for this one, we will follow the standard procedures and then there would be a document. Depending on the time it takes, it may be available for the upcoming CC exec, but if not, it would be considered at a future CC exec. And I asked Giuseppe if there's anything else I've missed, or he's shaking his head. Okay, so the procedure is ongoing, and if things are move forward quickly, you will see it in the paper on observers for the CC exec. Over.
Thank you, Sarah. Last year we had two high-level meetings, and one of the subjects that came up was that this type of new technology that the Good Food Institute works with. So I think it's very important. There's a new industry that's developing here. It's also making lots of proposals, which are very interesting, very innovative. I have a request for the floor from Trinidad and Tobago.
Hello, good afternoon. Can you hear me?
Yes, perfectly.
Loud and clear. Good afternoon, Trinidad and Tobago. We were previously having problems in connecting with audio, and on behalf of our contact focal point, I was asked to raise these two or three points with you. Trinidad and Tobago supports the online virtual meetings using the various platforms suggested. Our concerns are with the security of those platforms. This needs to be addressed. With the informal meeting, this would delay in decision making for member states and Codex in general. In moving forward, Trinidad and Tobago wants to support the amendments to the procedural manual to allow for formal meetings in alignment with the Codex standard operating procedures using the online platform. We also wanted to say that significant progress has been made with governments from small island developing states and other Caribbean countries. This should not be allowed to recede. Trinidad and Tobago would like to emphasize the importance of participation of member states in the online, the proposed online meetings. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Trinidad and Tobago. I think we had a connection issue with the chair. Diego, is everything okay, Diego?
It's frozen.
I think he's trying to re-enter. I think we've lost him.
He probably tries to re-enter.
Sí, lo perdimos, creo que...
The security of the systems is obviously, I mean, if
bueno,
I just
make... Entonces, oh. Tomo yo la palabra.
Toma la palabra.
In that case, I'll give Tom the floor. Tom, you have the floor.
Sorry, I thought you wanted to say something. Otherwise, I would have said something with regards to the security of the online systems, which is, of course, very important. We do not yet have a harmonized system in the United Nations. We adopted Zoom because that was the easiest available, and FAO is using that also for their formal meetings. Trying to make it as safe as possible with the passwords and so on. But this may not, and it seems to be working reasonably well also with the interpretation. But we know that other organizations are using other systems like the WTO, for example, using a system called Interprify, which I will have the opportunity to observe when I attend the SBS committee next week, the virtual SBS committee. So there will hopefully be at some point some idea of harmonization of what would be the best system to use. So I hear you've spoken to Diego, possibly. Well, we cannot have him back. Sarah, shall we proceed? We don't have that much time left, do we?
No, we only have 8 minutes left.
No, so. No hay mucho tiempo y les pido...
No, we don't have much time left. And please accept our apologies, but Diego is having some connection issues. So perhaps I'll take over. We have closed 5. It now means we are up to item 6. And before we continue, I'd like to say that on item 4 and all the proposals from Chile, Brazil, etc., all these proposals are going to be sent by email to all members. We're going to send you all of these proposals so that you can review them nice and calmly later on. So we'll now move on to item 6. Follow up to CC Lab 21, we have strategic plan implementation. We had the issue of facilitating all the members of CODEX when it comes to standard setting work. As a secretariat, we are focusing on strategic goal 4.2 to increase the sustainable participation of all members of CODEX. For activity 4.2.1. And this was debated at the last meeting of CCLAC. We have activity 4.2.1, which is increasing the participation of the region in CODEX's platforms, for example, in the various platforms for electronic work. And this is done to make sure that this can contribute to inclusivity in discussions in CODEX. And as a secretariat on this item, personally, I sent an email to focal points in Spanish-speaking countries, but today I'm going to continue with the English-speaking countries, and we're going to send an email to see if any of you have any issues or problems when it comes to accessing various platforms, these various platforms. We're going to have a proposal from Colombia, for example, and we worked jointly with Colombia in relation to providing training for a platform. And I'm going to once again ask those countries who have not responded to the Secretariat yet to please do so as soon as possible, to reply to the email. And for the English speaking countries, watch this space, because you're going to receive an email from us. And there'll be a training, not necessarily training, but perhaps a questions and answers section so that we can look at access issues with various platforms. And we're also going to talk about promoting the use of existing tools within CODEX. Does anyone have any questions? I'm just trying to see if anyone's requesting the floor. I have no requests for the floor on the screen. Sarah, please go ahead.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much, Cassandra. And just very briefly, I think we very much appreciate the role the coordinator is playing in trying to kickstart implementation of the activities we agreed under the strategic plan, and particularly under the current situation where a lot of physical activities are not possible. So thank you very much for getting this underway. And I think just to note as well that from the secretariat side, we of course are willing to continue to provide support to working on the tools. And I will just ask my colleague Giuseppe to mention briefly the types of support we can provide through webinars or other means. So perhaps with Chile, you're almost doing the diagnostic to determine the kinds of support people need, and then the secretariat are available, of course, to follow up. But Giuseppe can give a brief overview of what we can do. Thank you.
Thank you, Sarah. I can see that Diego is back. I'm going to give the floor to Chile. Chile, Roxana. Hello, Cassandra, and hello to everyone. Yes, we welcome the fact that Cassandra's raised this point. This is a very timely issue. And I participated in an EWG with a certain platform, and it worked quite well. But as we've already heard, it would be good that in these platforms for the EWGs, all the EWGs, if we could have simultaneous interpretation, that would be good. It would be very useful. It would be very good if we could have that, because in a lot of the groups, perhaps it would be a bit complex. But at least when it comes to the meeting we had with the CCLAC and the simultaneous interpretation there, it was very useful. So I think it would help us to be more involved in the work that's going on, especially for those representatives who find it difficult to express themselves in English and understand English. I thank you.
Muchas gracias, Cassandra, perdón por mi caída.
Thank you very much, Cassandra.
La noticia de que son las 12:59 en un minuto más se termina el tiempo que teníamos asignado.
We only have 1 minute left.
Simultánea,
the interpretation time that was allocated.
Me temo que queda pendiente lo que nos iba a compartir Giuseppe. Sobre lo que todo el trabajo que está haciendo la Secretaría del Codex
para
apoyar la implementación de los grupos de trabajo electrónicos y
el uso de las herramientas web. Nos van a quedar también pendientes los tres temas que teníamos definidos para
los otros asuntos,
que era lo que estamos
sobre el uso de las plataformas.
For example, the
y
use
a compartir,
platforms.
Me imagino, con nosotros la Secretaría las buenas noticias de la enorme participación que hemos tenido en el Día Mundial de la Inocuidad Alimentaria, y nos
also
queda pendiente también
World
el tema de
Safety Day,
que había propuesto Perú.
And also the proposal from Peru. So I'd like to ask the Secretariat if we'll just leave things there, or perhaps if we have 5 more minutes left to finalize the items on the agenda. Sarah, perhaps you could weigh in here.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much. I have to ask directly of the interpretation team if they're willing to give us 5 more minutes. To continue the discussions. I know they've also...
Five minutes and no more.
So 5 minutes, Diego. You have 5 minutes. Thank you very much, interpreters. 5 minutes from the interpretation team to conclude. Thank you.
Muchas gracias. Gracias a los intérpretes. Tenemos 5 minutos. Entonces yo le pediría a Giuseppe, que tenía lista su lo que nos iba a contar sobre lo que están haciendo y que apoya esta labor que les comentó ya Cassandra. Giuseppe, paso el micrófono.
Tell us what you've been doing, and then we'll come back to what Cassandra was saying. Giuseppe, you have the floor.
Giuseppe, no te escuchamos.
We can't hear you, Giuseppe.
No, no hay audio. No hay audio.
No, nope, there's no sound.
No. Bueno, problema técnico. De todas maneras, esto queda pendiente. Nosotros, right. La secretaría a través de nosotros o quizás directamente les va a llegar la información.
A technical problem. In that case, I'll turn to maybe Cassandra. Sarah, can you give us some information?
So, yeah, just to mention, basically, we just want to remind you that the Secretariat remains available to provide support through webinars on the use of the tools. We will be happy to work closely with the regional coordinator as they identify countries that that may need particular support. But in the meantime, please feel free to also contact us directly if you have any issues, from the very simple ones relating to passwords to the more complex ones in terms of using the tool, and we will try to arrange support as needed. Thank you.
Muchas gracias, secretaría.
Thank you.
El otro tema que nos queda de los otros asuntos, entonces, es la celebración del Día Mundial de la Inocuidad.
The other item was World Food Safety Day. If we can just take a few moments on that. I don't know whether you want to say something. Over to you.
This was going to be Giuseppe again, but I don't know if he can, if he's able to speak to us.
He can. No.
No. We don't hear you?
No.
Okay. I would, at this point, I mean, we've had a lot of activities on World Food Safety Day. We've tried to make all of the information available on the World Food Safety Day webpage, but perhaps Margarita or anyone from Panaftosa or FAO want to mention any of the follow-up to World Food Safety Day activities, if they're still on the line?
Otherwise, maybe now I solve my
problem. Okay, excellent. Go ahead, Giuseppe.
Thank you very much. No, just to mention that we collected all the news coming from the region on our website. So if you still haven't sent us your events to celebrate the World Food Safety Day, please do so. We will publish it in the dedicated page online. I will share the link with you. Maybe Roberto can already share the link. So if you have organized anything to celebrate World Food Safety Day, I know I have personally attended a number of seminars that were organized in the region, and I thank you very much for the invitation and for organizing such events. So as we are running out of time, my request for you is please send us everything that you did in the region, in your country. And if you didn't, well, we invite you to celebrate it next year. I know that this year was quite challenging for everyone, but we have to keep the momentum. For the webinars, just very briefly, we are offering these webinars for the members. Of course, we can do that in Spanish as well. Ya sabéis que yo hablo en español, es un español un poco raro, que es una mezcla de italiano.
Speak rather strange Spanish. It's a mixture of Italian, a bit of English, and a bit of Portuguese, but it works and people seem to understand me.
You know that we can tailor that to your needs. So if you want to have more information about the food additives database, for example, or the 8-step procedure, and not just the electronic working groups and the online commenting system, please send me an email. Send an email to codex@fao.org, and we can organize the webinar together. Thank you very much.
Muchas gracias, Giuseppe. Estamos ya sobre el tiempo. No Thank quiero abusar de la Giuseppe. Voluntad de los intérpretes.
Well, I don't want to abuse the goodwill of the interpreters. We're out of our 5 minutes. I'd like to thank them very much indeed for giving us those 5 minutes. And thank you to the Secretariat, because it must be getting quite late for you. Thank you anyway for having helped us in this informal meeting. Thank you to everyone for having joined us. Let's all stand together. Things are difficult. Things are very difficult in Latin America and Caribbean. Thank you.
We're still left with the
point raised by Peru, so I would ask Peru to send in an email and we'll make sure that it's circulated. So, thank you. Cassandra, did you want to add something?
No, perfecto.
No. Yes, I just wanted to say thank you for everyone for participating, the Secretariat for the information, which will be circulated. And we'll continue to work with you and for you. Thank you. Take care. Wash your hands. And,
gracias. Sigamos conectados.
Thank you.
Gracias a Lika por conectarse también y apoyarnos. Ya. Buen día, muchas gracias. Be safe.
Bye. Take bye-bye. Care. All the best. Thanks for the webinar. Bye.
Thank you. Bye. Bye-bye.
Verlos a todos. Gracias.